about this heinous crime that we're going to talk about this morning.
Well, this is a just a real brutal murder that occurred in 2003, and it was the killer's name is Jason Russell, and the victim in this case was a retired Catholic priest named Reverend Pilcher, and this guy got out of custody and came to live with this retired priest. And
got out of custody.
Yeah. Well, this Jason Russell's a dangerous guy. And so at any rate, and it unfortunately resulted in this Jason Russell losing his temper with this guy, and he buried a pickaxe in the top of his head.
Mm.
And so Detective Chris Schoonover and Rob Wilson and Prosecutor Brad Bryant are going to be here to talk about the case, and I think it'll be interesting.
I think so, too. And also, we hope you finished your breakfast before this starts. 20th day of September, and if today is your birthday and you're born in 1975, happy 38th birthday to you. David Bowie was number one when you were born.
Hey,
we are glad you're here this morning, brought to you by Landscaper's Corner at 1305 Old Frankfort Pike. Landscaper's Corner has Triple Crown Elite grass seed, the seed everybody's talking about. Call them at 225-9433. Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson with us, of course. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Jack.
This is one I think we need to disclaim a little bit because it's very brutal. So we kind of warn you about this when we start talking about this crime. Tell us who you brought with you this morning.
Well, with us this morning is one of the prosecutors of the case is Brad Bryant, and he was here last week.
Hey, Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Jack.
Good to have you back.
Thanks.
And with us also are Detective Chris Schoonover and Detective Rob Wilson.
Rob and Chris, glad to have you here.
Thanks, Jack.
They're all veterans of this program.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
And it's pretty interesting because this has been quite a week for everybody. I think it was a Wednesday night. Rob and Chris were out on a call out for a death out on what, Mark Lane? Is that where it was?
Yes, sir.
And I guess you guys were out till about 4 o'clock in the morning getting that thing investigated along with Christy Smith.
Yes, sir.
And then last night I ran into Brad. Because you heard Scott talk about the horse that was hit.
Yes, yes.
And that sort of thing. And we always respond to these call-outs and so forth. And so we were out late with that for a while. You know, Jack, I'll tell you, if you really want to get serious penalties, all you have to do is make part of the crime some sort of abuse of an animal.
I've heard you say that before.
Yeah. And people were mostly concerned about, was the horse okay?
Yeah.
And
the police officer is okay. Right?
Well, I went over to check on him last night from the scene, and he was alert. He was there. His back was bothering him, but that was it because he was thrown off the horse. So this murder case that we're here to talk about today involves a defendant by the name of Jason Russell. And it occurred back in 2003. And Brad, of the bunch of us here, has the best memory of anybody. And he's going to have to kind of carry the load because these detective guys that are here have dealt with so many assaults and homicides and robberies and that sort of thing. So, Brad, these guys are desperately counting on you here.
They said they're both glad they're not under oath this morning.
Very true.
That's right. First, let me talk to Chris. Chris, how long have you been a police officer?
17 years, and I've been with robbery homicide for 16 of those 17 years.
Yeah. He's been involved in some of the major homicides that we've had here in town. Rob, what about you?
Been on the department for 15 years and been in robbery homicide for 12.
And Brad, how long have you been a prosecutor?
I've been a prosecutor since 2001, and I started in our office in October of 2003.
Did you come right out of college, or what'd you do out of law school?
Oh, I started at the county attorney's office.
Did you?
Okay. For 2.5 years, and then I came over to Ray.
Okay.
Yeah, we pirated him away.
You stole him, okay.
Yeah, well, that's what he wants me to say. Yeah. Right. Okay, well, Brad, tell us just a little bit about the nature of this case.
Sure. Back on December 8th of 2003, police responded over to 260 Pleasant Point Drive, which is over there off of Patchen in the Patchen area. And basically what they found was that the landlord of Joseph Pilger had walked into the house after not hearing from Mr. Pilger for a while, and found Joseph Pilger deceased in the house.
Let me interrupt you, because I got the call out also at the time, and I went out to the scene, and it was pretty brutal, because he was sitting there in a Lazy Boy chair, and he had been dead for some time, and was, at any rate, he had been dead for some time, and he had a pick that was driven into the top of his head.
Like a pickaxe.
Yeah. And it, you know how a pick is kind of bent.
Yeah.
And the point of the pick was coming out his mouth.
Wow.
So he was what we call DRT in this business, which means dead right there. Mm-hmm. And
he was a retired Catholic priest. That's, we later found out.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, Chris, you went to the scene. What do you recall about this?
I remember him being in the Lazy Boy chair, and the portion of the house where Joseph Pilger stayed was somewhat neat, but we had discovered in one of the bedrooms that he had probably had a roommate that stayed there, because there was one room that was in disarray. And so through interviews that evening, we discovered that Mr. Pilger had a cleaning lady, and that was the reason why the house was so clean, but Mr. Pilger told her not to clean his roommate's room. And of course...
Did we ever learn why?
Because later on, talking to Mr. Pilger's nephew, Mr. Pilger was getting somewhat sick and tired of his roommate not doing his share of the housework. So to teach him a lesson, he asked the cleaning lady not to clean his portion of the house.
How did this whole thing come about? How did this roommate relationship with this retired Catholic priest develop? What was that about?
Well, Pilger had been in prison for some child sexual abuse charges. And another priest by the name of Earl Bierman had also been in prison with Pilger. And from my memory, Jason Russell had also been in prison with Bierman. And when Pilger got out, Russell was going to be released and needed a place to stay. So Bierman sort of hooked him up with Pilger.
But he didn't know him before he got released from prison, as far as you know.
My memory serves me correctly. Yeah. I don't think he did.
But this Bierman that he was in prison with was a priest as well.
Yeah,
and he had been convicted of some child, do you remember?
I think it was some child molestation charges.
Yeah, okay.
And both those guys were, I don't know if they're defrocked. Is that what happened to them? Rob, what do you remember? You were a detective trainee at the time.
And studying at the feet of Paul Williams and Chris Schoonover, absolutely. I remember getting the call, going to the scene and seeing Mr. Pilger there in the Lazy Boy. And just from there, really working it, even though it was grotesque and everything, but you have to work it like any other case. We started the neighborhood canvas. From there, we really got an important piece of information that Mr. Pilger had a car that was missing. So we were able to get the information from that car and put out an attempt to locate on the vehicle.
And, it's called an ATL.
Uh-huh. And then started to get into Mr. Pilger's finances to see if anything had been stolen. And from there, the investigation kind of rolled on. We found the vehicle, and then it progressed until we located Mr. Russell.
You remember where the vehicle was found?
Chris, it was in southern Ohio. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, in Ironton, Ohio, located abandoned on a farm.
Okay.
Well, what did we find out about from Pilger's financial records?
Well, the thing we learned was that it appeared that Russell may have been forging some of Pilger's checks. And it sort of, at least from the prosecutors involved, we kind of looked at it as maybe a motive for why Russell killed him. Because we know that at some point, Russell left and went to Florida. And then Pilger figures out that these checks have been forged. And there's some kind of contact between him and Russell. Something in the nature of, you need to make this right or I'm going to turn it over to the police. And then, I don't want to sound callous, but, you know, boom. And then a couple of weeks later, Pilger's dead. So.
And so the assumption is he came back from Florida just to kill him.
Yeah.
So.